This is Jim Engster. Hope you're getting ready for a fabulous holiday weekend. Your number is 877-217-5757 for Talk Louisiana. Fairly Cook Jackson, the executive director of Preserve Louisiana the last 5 years, is with us. She succeeded Carolyn Bennett, who the organization in that, those years, as we know, was the Foundation for Historical Louisiana. And a rose by any other name is still a rose, and the organization does great work preserving our culture and some of the great buildings, and Fairley's got a story to tell, but you got a grant. I think this is the official announcement from the
yes.
Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities. What's
yes,
happening?
Yes, yes. You know, I do want to say that the grantors and funders these days have just been pretty amazing in adjusting and adapting to being a little bit more thoughtful in what our needs are now in this new normal. So we're excited to announce that the Louisiana Endowment for Humanities will be supporting our virtual tour, which we've actually, of the old governor's mansion, which we've actually had for 3 years now, but of course we're expanding it and changing it on a weekly basis to make it relevant, and then also to support our lectures, which we will be doing in person, but also virtually now.
Well, very good. So the beat goes on at the Foundation for Historical Louisiana, but the weddings and things like that used to happen at that beautiful place that is home for you, which is the old governor's mansion. It's on hiatus right now.
It is, and that is probably our biggest challenge right now. That was our biggest source of revenue that then went to support our mission of cultural and architectural preservation. So we're seeing a halt on all of those, which is definitely a big challenge. So our membership and contributions are more important now more than ever.
How are contributions for nonprofits in general? Is it a tough time for any nonprofit?
I think it is. You know, I think it was actually a tough time before this. And so now we're seeing that those, you know, nonprofits, especially that are not taking care of basic needs, mm-hmm. you know, our wonderful food bank, things like that. Preservation doesn't quite come to mind when you think of recovery, but we do play a key role in the economic recovery when you look at our historic tax credits and things like that. So as we move forward, I think we'll find our relevant place there.
877-217-5757. And as we anticipated, the first missive online comes from a listener, Tom on Blue Bonnet, asking about the Crawford House, which you came on this show and successfully preserved for a while, but it is no longer, right?
It is no longer, unfortunately. It was a very sad turn of events. You know, I want to thank everyone for their support. I think we definitely put up a great effort, and we can't save them all, unfortunately. But, you know, I'd like to just reiterate how important local landmark designation and National Register designation is.
Was that a big loss? That was a house that had gotten a lot of national exposure, and yet we couldn't find people who were interested in preserving it. How big of a setback?
I think it's really pretty significant. You know, the story goes beyond just the physical structure. You know, well, the architect of that house, Wall Snyder, was a famed international architect from Miami. And this is one of the few structures that he designed outside of Miami, and of course was commissioned by the architect Crawford himself. And then Crawford's contribution to architecture and culture spans from here all the way to South Carolina, New Jersey. And, you know, he was key in creating affordable housing post-World War II for African Americans outside of New Orleans. And that was a very key, significant contribution from an architectural and cultural standpoint. So, you know, there's multiple layers of significance to that house. So, yes, I consider that as a significant loss.
All right. Here's another inquiry about a development pertaining to the Leo S. Butler Center.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, well, it's the Leo S. Butler House. So we were just successful in designating the Leo S. and Estelle Duvall Butler family home as a local landmark. So here
what
we get
the,
here we get to celebrate
what is
a win.
The address, Fairly?
You know? I don't know the exact address, but it's on Terrace Street. So we're talking about a significant family in Old South Baton Rouge.
Terrace Street.
Terrace Street, yes. You know, and the history of Old South Baton Rouge is so rich culturally.
Yeah, I think I know the house you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful bungalow, and you know, this is the family that gave us Lynn Whitfield as well. So she has been very active in supporting this endeavor of ours, and it passed Metro Council this week. And
is anyone living there?
Yes, yes. The descendants of the Butler family are still living there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, regal old home.
It is, and it was the gathering place of so many influential people, you know, post Jim Crow and during the Civil Rights Movement, and many you know, civil rights leaders and artists and musicians gathered in that home and found support within that community there in what was a very difficult and segregated time.
And another listener asked about the Lincoln Theater. That invariably comes up when we're talking about iconic structures in Baton Rouge. Obviously, it needs some sprucing up, but it's still standing. What's next?
It's still standing. You know, this is a project that we are not the lead on, but of course we support. And actually had about an hour-long discussion with one of the Butler family members yesterday to – and this is actually the granddaughter calling me right now. so we talked about this, and you know, we've seen many you know, heights of interest in the project and then a lull, and it's time for us, especially now with this designation, hopefully to act as a catalyst for more to start happening in Old South Baton Rouge.
And another listener, obviously into the nonprofit scene in Baton Rouge, tells me that today at Ann Connolly's charity auction, there is an event for Of Moving Colors. So
So this was actually something that came up the other day. So Franz Borgart, who does the Go Rouge show, asked me to put together a cultural segment for him. And so I suggested Ann Connolly and Garland for their work that they're doing. And Ann's been doing these auctions. And so now Of Moving Colors will be the beneficiary.
And Garland's been there for a while.
She has. She has.
She's great.
She is great. Wonderful.
And many of these people, like Molly Buckman, who we have on, they've been with these organizations for a long time, and they've seen ups and downs, but this is definitely new terrain. How long can this go?
It is. Oh, gosh, Jim, I don't know, because I don't know that this is it. You know, I don't think any of us have a clear picture of, you know, how long this will last or if it will happen again. So there's this new normal. You know, it's part of the reason why we're bringing our lectures online. You know, a lot of our patrons and members are older and might not feel comfortable coming out for quite some time. So it's our mission to bring content to them. So, you know, it's just finding a way to adjust and adapt.
Okay, here's Holly in the Garden District, who doesn't live that far away, asking if any nightlife has returned to downtown, or is it still pretty dark and desolate right now?
You know, I think I was actually down there on Saturday night and had a very nice physically distant dinner at Tsunami outside on the terrace. And they were at their max 25% capacity, you know, but it felt safe. It felt healthy. You know, it's all, I think, an individual decision on whether or not you're comfortable. But yeah, I think downtown's going to come back. And, you know, almost all of our museums are opening up. I believe that all but the Children's Museum, the Knock Knock. So we're going to move in that direction. We're trying to collaborate and make this the most supportive time we can. We're putting together a passport program for our museum so people can go visit all of our fine cultural entities and win prizes and things like that. So, you know, I'm hoping that some good comes of this, that there's more collaboration, more partnerships. And with all these families being home, we hope that they will come and take a tour of the old governor's mansion, either with a docent, physically distant and safe, wearing our face coverings, or at their own pace using their handheld device.
Well, a listener notes that the governor on his show asked the governor 2 days ago, said that he was hopeful of going to phase two on June 5th. And the listener asks what phase two looks like. And I'm looking at some of these states, which some of which have already gone to phase two, like North Carolina. It sounds a lot like what phase one is, but it's the restaurants would be at 50% rather than 25%, which is a big distinction.
It is, and it's funny because I was actually on the phone with a good friend from North Carolina yesterday where we were making these comparisons of their phase two versus our phase one. And originally, museums were in phase three. So, you know, I think that the lieutenant governor had a good bit to do with that in moving us into phase one. And so incredibly grateful for that. But, yeah, I mean, the difference between the states is pretty interesting to see how we're all kind of handling this.
All right, here's Alice on Goodwood asking if the Children's Museum has reopened.
They have not. In fact, they're going to be in Phase 3, unfortunately.
Phase 3. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's because it's a very tactile experience. I know Peter and his team are amazing at keeping everybody healthy and safe and clean. But maybe we'll see. That might change. Maybe they'll be in Phase 2. We can cross our fingers.
Healthy and safe and clean, like we weren't that before, right?
Exactly.
We were all unhealthy, dirty, and unsafe.
Exactly.
Healthy, safe, and clean. That's the new mantra.
It is, right? I guess.
Who would have thought that would be an advertising ploy?
Well, healthy, I think all the discussions we're having these days are ones that we never thought we'd have before.
Yeah, the world changed a lot in just a short period of time. And, of course, the world awaits to see if we'll have college football and professional football. And here's a good question from a listener. By the way, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome will be no longer the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The advocate today said that Tom Benson's name might be of an appropriate name on the building. Well, John McKithen's name ought to be on that building. And the legislature voted that it would be. And then decided not to because of Tom Benson. But buildings are, by any name, are worth preserving. And Fairley, you're on the cutting edge of doing that. Congratulations on what you're doing. And I know
and
these
the
are tough times.
And the Superdome is on the National Register.
As it should be. Started in 1975. So this is the 45th anniversary, come August, of the Louisiana Superdome. Hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. We will be back Monday. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.